Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today, I am really, really, really excited because I have probably one of the biggest people I've had on my podcast so far, and his name is Tony Horton. And I'll just tell you a little bit about Tony. Tony needs no introduction, but I'll give you a little bit about his background. So Tony is the master behind the best-selling fitness program in America, P90X. Tony helps people to get fit all over the world by keeping them motivated in health, physique, and lifestyle. Over the last 17 years, Tony has acquired, perfected, and shared his fitness expertise with countless individuals across America. From professional athletes, sports teams, televisions, and major movie stars, recording artists to the average American, Tony has helped people turn their lives around with a perfect mix of encouragement, humor, discipline, and fun. His first book, Bring It, came out with Rodale Books in December of 2010, and now he's in discussions to start his own reality show. How fun is that? And and Tony's been featured in numerous publications, from Men's Fitness to being on national television, including CNN, A&E, NBC, and so on, with a whopping $500 million plus in sales of an extremely impressive library of fitness programs. Tony has incorporated his personal training experience and engaging personality to get people of all ages moving and digging deep to get their best results. So, Tony, welcome. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Wow, that is one heck of an introduction. I don't even think I need to say anything. That was so good. Well, I think you covered it all.
You know,
maybe a few things were missed, but yeah. Wow, it looks like I've been busy.
Well,
apparently.
And you know, I think I need your program because I'm out of breath just talking about all your accomplishments.
Yeah, that's the warm up, actually. Right, going through my all my accomplishments is the warm up.
So, well, again, thank you so much for joining us here. And you know, Tony, just briefly, can you tell us a little bit of your story? You know, were you always really fit and confident? You know, I think a lot of people see celebrities, and you know, even, you know, fitness celebrities, and think they were just always that way as they are today.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was neither of those two things. I was not fit, nor was I confident when I was younger. I had a bit of a speech impediment when I was younger. I was not a great student. We moved around a lot when I was a kid because my father was in the military, excuse me, and also with some of his jobs. So there was a tendency to sort of not feel settled, always making new friends and then new teachers and new schools and everything. You know, how do I get home today? I forget. Okay, that was the last town I lived in. You know, so, and that was sort of a rough start. But in a sense, it was a way to kind of help me learn to adapt to ever-changing environments. And so, no, not initially. My real change came in college. I took a weightlifting class at the University of Rhode Island, my alma mater, and I finally had a mentor that was pretty good at sharing what he knew without feeling like I was getting it, you know, shoved down my throat. He didn't have a drill sergeant approach. He didn't have a, you know, I'm only going to work with athletes and non-athletes approach. He just was really excited to have anybody in one of his classes to show him, show them how to get better, how to become more athletic and stronger. And that was my real first time. I think I was on the football team in high school, and the coaches back in the, you know, back in the 70s, it was really about getting their name in the paper and getting more wins than losses. And so if you were not, you know, if you weren't one of the top athletes, they didn't spend as much time with you as maybe they could have. But when I first came out to L.A., I was an actor, and I started exercising just because I wanted to look better on camera. You know, I wanted to be more athletic. And the California lifestyle was a much more outdoorsy, athletic, lifestyle than it was on the East Coast. You know, on the East Coast where I grew up, 6 months out of the year, it was freezing cold and raining, you know. Not always, but it wasn't as conducive to healthy and fit lifestyle as California was. And that was purely for aesthetics, you know. I mean, I just wanted to look good. I didn't really know much about the health and fitness aspects of it. I just wanted to look good purely. And then I started, because of the result of looking pretty good, I met Tom Petty through a mutual friend, and I started training Tom. And then it blew up. That's when my training business kind of exploded. I was keeping rock and roll alive there for a while.
Oh, that's very cool. So would you say that that was your first big break, you know, and how do you think you attracted that? Or was that your first break, or was it kind of, did it come after that?
Well, my first break, mini break, was I worked with Nordic Track, and another mutual friend saw that I was acting but also doing fitness, so I was one of these guys who could walk and chew gum. You know, they have a lot of people who are on-camera spokespeople who aren't really athletic or they don't know much about fitness, but they're good on camera, but they don't really look the part, where a lot of people who look the part really aren't great on camera. And so I had sort of those two things happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. So Nordic Track saw that, and I would fly out to Minneapolis, I don't know, about half a dozen times. And I was in their little infomercials, their short-form infomercials, and also if you bought one of their products, I would be the guy on the videotape that would say, "Hi, everybody, I'm Tony Horton, and this is Nordic Track, and we're going to show you how to put this thing together and how to use it properly." So, you know, I went from a kid who had no self-esteem, a speech impediment, and all of a sudden I was a spokesperson for Nordic Track.
Wow.
And then, you know, at that time, still I was training my celebrity clients. I mean, my morning was pretty crazy there a couple days of the week. I started out with Tom Petty, Billy Idol, Annie Lennox, and Stephen Stills. You know, that was my morning 3 days a week. Then I met Carl Deichler, who is just this guy who had these great ideas about what he wanted to do with fitness, and he came in from Philadelphia. I was here in L.A. We met through a mutual friend, and we created a product called Great Body Guaranteed, which was our very first thing, and it did pretty well. You know,
yeah.
We sold it at 3 o'clock in the morning in Poughkeepsie, New York, Miami, and, you know, Anchorage, Alaska. You know, it was just one of these things. It was one of these. We rolled the dice, and it did pretty well, and it kept growing, and we were in bigger markets, and then we developed Power 90, which was sort of the thing that really launched the company.
Mm-hmm.
And now here with P90X, you know, to sort of the next level. And we created P90X just for the hope that people who were going to the gym and not getting results would begin to try to find better ways of getting into shape and doing it in their house without having to get in the car and drive to the gym and then share their DNA with somebody else in some sweaty equipment, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the thing blew up. I mean, we had no idea. Initially, we were just trying to, you know, show people a better way to get fit, and it's become this phenomenon.
Yeah, that's great. So I want to ask you about the cycle of success, and I'm going to get into that because you talk about that in your book, Bring It. But first, along with the health and fitness that so many of my listeners are interested in, financial success and mindset, you know, are also one of their big things. And so I'm just wondering if you could pinpoint and share what one main belief you hold that attributed most to the amazing business and success that you've had.
You know, it's funny. When you think of the cycle of success, there's two that jump off the page for me personally, you know, and I think one of them is do scary things that don't kill you.
Yeah.
And find the funny.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's obviously 12 of them, but of those two, I think what ends up happening to a lot of people, especially as they get a little bit older, you know, they get into sort of this routine and this rut, and they get married and they have kids, and then they're sort of living through the kids, and they've neglected their body, and they're sort of afraid to try new things because they don't want to look bad at them. And my success has truly come as a result of those two things.
Yeah.
You know, I would go to seminars. I would drive to Santa Barbara to go on some, you know, some yoga retreat, or I would drive to San Francisco to see, you know, Deepak Chopra speak. You know, I mean, I was always learning from people who already had success. I mean, mentors, and that's another one, of course, in the cycle of success is, you know, find a mentor, be a mentor. And it was really that simple, you know, and I was always trying things, and I loved the idea that I was not good at things, because I knew that if I was persistent and I kept working, that I would get better. I mean, it was common sense to me, partly based on meeting those people and reading their books. I mean, if you look at my library here in my office, literally half of the books on the shelves are self-help books, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't get the help that I needed in school. I mean, it was all about reading, writing, and arithmetic, you know, but when it came to really sort of surviving and succeeding in life, you've got to go to people who know what they're doing. So, and it also came to physically. I mean, physically, mentally, and emotionally, I was always trying things that seemed scary initially, but they didn't kill me. I'm still here, and as a result, I'm pretty successful.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is having a sense of humor. I think a lot of people, we've lost our sort of childlike curiosity.
Yeah.
You know, people are so self-conscious. They're so afraid of what they're going to say and how people are going to react to them, how they look, and it's just we need to lighten up. I mean, we need to really lighten up and just have some fun and not be so attached to the way we think other people think of us, because chances are they're too busy thinking about themselves.
Yeah.
So it's really a matter of those two things. I mean, those are the two kind of rise to the surface.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks so much for sharing that. So would you actually mind kind of talking a little bit more about the cycle of success? Because I think there's so much there that is, you know, you've touched on three of those points, but would you mind talking a little bit more about the other points?
Yeah, you know, the cycle of success is, you know, there's nothing scientific about this list. You know, these are things that I have discovered in my own life that mattered. You know, whenever I got stuck or confused or I was at an impasse, I noticed that these basic laws are the things that sort of helped me move forward to stop being stuck. Mm-hmm. You know, and the first one I think is pretty key, obviously. Ask for what you need. I think so often, you know, a perfect example is you walk into a restaurant and you look at a menu and you're trying to eat pretty well and you don't see a healthy thing on there. So, you know, you go to the waiter and you say, hey, look, I'm on a special diet. I see that on the menu you've got things that I can't eat. Do you have vegetables back there, and can you cook them this way? And 9 times out of 10, you say, hey, look, you know, thanks for doing that. I'll tip you pretty well if you just take care of me. A lot of people don't think of that. They just sit there, and they stare at the menu, mm-hmm. and they freak out and go, okay, what am I going to eat? You know, if I see beets in one part of the menu, and I see arugula in another, and I see mushrooms, I say, can you take the beets, the arugula, and the mushrooms and put them on one plate for me, you know?
Yeah.
And it's that way with, I think, everything in your life. So often we get stuck because, you know, how do I put this? You know, we blame other people for our problems.
Sure.
Sometimes it's just as simple as saying, really, at first, it's as simple as understanding what it is that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is it do I need in my life to move forward, but to become unstuck, for a better choice of words there.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then you write it down, and then you ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you do it, you know, and then you see, and then you make a list. You know, you say to yourself, okay, who do I have to call? Who do I have to email? What meeting do I have to have? And you have to understand that it's not going to happen with one conversation or one email. Sometimes it's a process. It's
mm-hmm.
a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that can really, that moves you forward. That gets you past that point where you feel like you can't get any better. And that's pretty simple there. So,
yeah.
The next one, don't get fooled again. You know, I mean, it's like people who go to the gym and they buy that same membership at the beginning of the season on January 1st and come, you know, February 15th, they're done.
Yeah.
And they do that year after year after year. I don't know, everybody quotes Einstein. I think, you know, they all say that he said, you know, insanity is doing the same things over and over again and assuming that something different is going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to a lot of us. We have to get outside of the box, you know, a little bit. We have to stop doing things that don't work, and we have to recognize when they stop working.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the problem. I mean, we keep buying stuff that doesn't work. We keep hanging around with people who aren't good for us. We keep using products that aren't creating change. And it's really that one is helps you kind of recognize when that's going on, so that you can, you know. And it's scary. Change is scary for people.
Yeah.
And so they would like to do the same things over and over again, and I hope that something different is going to happen. But it can become very frustrating. So
yeah.
You want me to move right through them?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Like I mentioned,
yeah, sure.
Number three is do scary things that don't kill you. Of course, I talked about that one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, the next one is find your mentors and be a mentor, which is really, really important. Like I said earlier, you are the five people you hang around the most. So people in your life can be your mentors or your detractors.
Yes.
And so if you're hanging around people who are really lazy and overweight and miserable and pointing fingers and unhappy in their relationships and their jobs, chances are you'll become that.
Right.
Right? And if you hang around people that are, you know, that are funny and thoughtful and ambitious and, you know, excited and filled with laughter, then you'll probably end up being that,
mm-hmm.
you know. No man's an island, no woman's an island. So sometimes you have to go around and you have to find people, you know. I mean, get involved in a fit club. Go join a, you know. I remember there was a short time ago where I was loving ping pong, but I wasn't getting any better. So I went, you know, I started hanging around these people that were, you know, semi-professional, and I was destroyed in ping pong for many months.
Yeah.
And then I started winning a few games because I started playing people better than me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's okay to be humbled for a short period of time.
Yeah.
Knowing that's part of the process of getting better and growing and getting stronger and getting smarter and finding more joy and happiness in your life. And it comes from hanging around people who know how to do those things.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you can get it in a book, and you can get it from somebody, you know, at a seminar you paid for, or maybe it's just somebody that you meet at an event. You know, we're so stuck inside our houses, a lot of people. You know what I mean? We've got laptops and plasma TVs and iPads and iPods, and we're staring at screens and we're playing, you know, Xbox, and you know, you might get a little bit smarter and you might learn a thing or two, but you don't really experience life unless you find that through people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Think and act outside of the box. You know, so often, like I was at an event and I watched these kids. It was a high school event. And it's just so funny, these cliques in high schools, all these kids are so much the same. Like, they all have the same hats, the same shirts, the same shorts, the same shoes, because they so want to fit in, you
yeah.
know? And we still do that as an adult, because there's no reason why we would change that from childhood to adulthood. You know, why would I want to grow long sideburns? Because somebody might say I look weird, you know?
Yeah.
Grow your sideburns, man. I mean, go take flute lessons. That's truly what ends up happening. I mean, that's what I did. You know, when I created P90X, a lot of people said, oh, you're not going to succeed with that because general public's not going to work out 6 days a week and eat healthy. You know, that's for your celebrity clients that need to, you know, need to perform or need to look good for a film or for a TV show.
Yeah.
And so that's what I tell people all the time. I mean, you know, don't be afraid to be unusual. Don't be afraid to experiment. Don't be afraid that you're, you know, don't be afraid of your curiosity. And when I developed my fitness programs, obviously I'm trying to create something that works, that creates results, but I'm also adding fun, I'm adding variety, you know, we call it muscle confusion, excuse me, in P90X, but, and that's the reason why Beachbody has become so huge, that's the reason why P90X has become so huge.
Yeah.
It's because we did something different, you know.
Yeah.
There's a great interview with Steve Jobs, and Steve Jobs was quoting Henry Ford, and, They were asking Henry Ford, so how do you know what the general population needs? And he says, I don't care what the general population needs. If I gave them what they wanted, I'd have to give them a faster horse. Right? And Steve Jobs did that. He said, I don't deal with focus groups. People don't know what they need. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to create something for them that is so unusual and so extraordinary and so amazing that they'll want that.
Yeah.
Right? And they'll look at everything else and say, okay, well, you know, that's archaic. Let's step up and do something really unusual. And so that's, you know, I'm not saying you have to be an inventor. I'm just saying that, you know, be creative and be thoughtful and be curious in all areas of your life.
Yeah.
The opposite of that, the next one, is do nothing.
Yeah.
Do nothing is awesome because, you know, sometimes the one thing that is everything is nothing. And what I mean by that is, you know, if your act is together, if your life is under control, then you have to understand that the opposite side of yang is yin. I mean, as Americans, I mean, if you don't know the difference between yin and yang, right, it's the Taoist belief that you need balance in your life. The pendulum, if it's going to swing, you know, far in one direction, it's got to swing just as far in the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we burn out. You know, we don't sleep well. We're filled with lots of stress. We don't exercise right, and we eat crappy food, and we have, you know, these crazy schedules. And we can't figure out why, you know, we're not happy and joyful and not injured or hurt or sick all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you have to just sort of chill, you know. And what I try to do is I have a little bench that I built up on the hill behind my house. And I try. I don't do it every day because, you know, my life is pretty crazy these days. But I'll just go up there with a pad and a pen next to me on the bench and I'll sit.
Yeah.
And sometimes my eyes are closed and sometimes they're open, just kind of observing the day because I have a nice view of Hollywood and San Gabriel Mountains and stuff here in my house. And other days I'll just close my eyes and just breathe. And in those moments of nothingness, sometimes you get nothing,
mm-hmm.
which is good because that is, you know, the definition of meditation. You know, it's just clearing out the mind. You're not asleep. You're not napping. You're fully awake, but you've cleared your head of all the junk.
Yeah.
And other times, you know, my head is racing and all these amazing ideas pop into my head. A lot of my fitness moves, a lot of my ideas and a lot of the things that I wrote in the book came from just sitting quietly for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not asking you to meditate for half an hour or an hour. I mean, sometimes just take 5 minutes if you can. 15 seems too long.
Yeah, it doesn't always take that long, does it?
No.
No.
Finish what you start. And, of course, I would say, unless you really, really hate it.
Yeah.
You know, but people do P90X and they stop on day 45. You know, they stop on day 60. And, you know, they hurt their back and they missed a couple days and they didn't want to start all over again. Or maybe they, you know, had something at work that happened that was kind of stressful and they missed a couple days. I mean, life happens and you're going to miss certain days. But P90X is more about a philosophy, and so is the book. Bring it. I mean, they're both about how to live your life, not, you know, how to get ripped in 90 days so you can stand there and look at yourself in the mirror. I mean, it's not that at all.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're gonna do something, try to finish it. You know, set a goal. You know, I mean, it's not like you have to, you know, conquer the world in any kind of period of time, but you know, try to finish what you start. I think so. You know, procrastination and not finishing things are the reason why one of the reasons why so many people struggle so much.
Yeah.
And I was certainly that way. I think the reason why this is in there, it's a reminder for me.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things that I don't finish, and it seems that every time that I do, even if I don't do it exactly the way I expected myself to do it initially, even though I got through it, muddled through it, there's always a much greater lesson learned as a result of even doing things, excuse my English, half-assed as opposed to not at all, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, especially with the workouts, for example, I'll tell people, look, if you're doing the yoga routine and it's 90 minutes long and you just find that excruciating, we'll do 45 minutes of it then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, that, then they'll say, well, that means I didn't finish it. Well, that, at least you started it and you did some form of it.
Yeah.
You know, and that philosophy can equate to all kinds of things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know, Tony, yeah. You know what? This is such great information, and you know, we're at 7 here. I think there 12 of the twelve of the steps.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, you know what? I think people should buy your book and they should read the rest.
Yeah, I know.
Of it.
I just gave away half the book right there. I just gave away a whole chapter practically. So,
no, you know, because it's such great information, and I know, and you and I we're so much on the same wavelength, and a lot of my audience has heard some of this stuff before, but I think it's so great to hear it from a completely different perspective, and in a different way. So, that's awesome.
Well, you know, the book, I wrote the book, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, P90X is so extreme and your book is not, does not really, the workouts aren't as extreme. And the idea is to have to, and for me, I understand that not everybody's at the same level. You know, I try to stay away from universal truths. Like, what about vitamin D? Is that important? Maybe for you, but not for your sister. You know, I don't know. Well, I hear you have to do cardio 4 days a week. Maybe for you, but not for your mom, you know? So it's really sort of understanding, what it is that you need based on who you are at this stage of your life. And if you do certain things, that will change, because the more you do, the more you change, obviously. So then you have to kind of reevaluate. All right, well, I've read the book. When I did the fitness quotient at the beginning of the book, I discovered that I was a beginner. And so now I know what to eat as a beginner and how to exercise as a beginner. But now I'm not a beginner anymore, so I don't continue to do those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've moved on. You're maybe a striver. So. And the book is broken down into beginners, strivers, and warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows you that, you know, there are certain supplements that if you take them, here are the benefits. But I don't say take them.
Yeah.
I say these are the supplements that I take, and here are the benefits that I believe that I'm getting from these supplements. You might want to try them because maybe some part of your life, maybe you don't have enough energy, or maybe you're too sore after workouts, you're not recovering quick enough, or you know, like in the 11 laws of health and fitness, there's a section in there about sleep and stress and the effects of that on a human body and trying to exercise and eat better. You know, it's a very interesting little puzzle, but I've spent 25 years trying to piece it together,
yeah.
And it works for me, and it's in the book, and so the book helps you understand what it is that I do to make my life productive and happy and joyful and healthy and fit.
Yeah.
So.
Great. That's awesome. And, you know, I think that's just, again, what all of us can use. I mean, it's just is one person's experience, but obviously it's working for you, but also the things that you're sharing with so many people all over the world is working for a lot of people. And so I think this philosophy is fantastic. And your book is fantastic. You know, I've been reading it, and it just really resonates. So thank you for doing that. I mean, I know a book is a big project, so.
Yeah, it's a 2-year project. And, you know, initially, just like with the P90X, a lot of the publishers said, oh, can't we do a little diet book where you eat, you know, wheatgrass and alfalfa sprouts and do ab work 3 days a week? I said, no, that's not what I do, you know. So Rodale stepped up and allowed me to write the book that I wanted to write. They allowed me to keep the humor in the book, which I think is important.
Yeah.
Because when you're ever disseminating information, you don't want it to feel like you're reading, you know,
a
Russian history book. You know, it's got to feel like, oh, wow, this is, I want to have people read this book and have the lights go off above their head, where they say, "Oh wow, that's common sense. I just never saw it written like that before." Or you know, a lot of books are my way or the highway. You know, you you have to do these very specific exercises, and you have to eat this very specific food that tastes like wax so that you can look better in the future. You know, a lot of books are written that way. I mean, it's sort of an exaggeration, but mine is a book that says, hey, you know, health and fitness is open to anybody and everybody, and I'm going to show you how to do it.
Yeah, fantastic. So, Tony, where can people get your book?
Well, they can go to Amazon.com, or they can go to Barnes & Noble. I mean, it's just about anywhere and everywhere that books are sold.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, you know, we sell it on the Beachbody site. You can go to TonyHortonsWorld.com,
mm-hmm.
my website,
mm-hmm.
and there's a link there. It'll show you where to buy it, too. So,
okay, great. Well, Tony, thank you so much. This has just been, it's so fantastic to connect with you, to hear your philosophy, and to be able to share it with my audience in a, you know, perhaps a way that they haven't been able to hear from you before. So thanks again. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm glad we had a chance to hook up and at least have a conversation where some folks out there who might still kind of be stuck, you know, trying to figure out what it is they need to do, and maybe there's something here in our conversation that resonated, and maybe some folks will, you know, go buy the book, and maybe they'll be inspired to make a shift in their life. Me personally, on a personal note, you know, before I discovered exercise, I was a bit of a wreck. I was really struggling, and I discovered that physical motion, physical movement, physical activity, the kind of things that I enjoy doing, as opposed to, you know, things I don't, make for a better emotional and mental life as well. So it's all those three things are connected, and you know, the Harvard Business Review did a great study about the effects of physical activity on the brain and how it functions and how we feel, and it resonated with me. Another great author, John Ratty, wrote a book called Spark, you know, the effects of physical activity on productivity in the brain and cognition and memory, and so it's not just about, you know, eating food from a box so that you can become smaller to look good in a dress at a wedding in front of people who don't care. You know, it's bigger than that. It's more important than that. It's about the quality of our lives, and that's what's in the book, Bring It.
Yeah, thank you. Wonderful. Thanks, Tony.
My pleasure, Karen. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.